contest for the youngsters here and every Wednesday, so encourage your children to attend and to participate. They get prizes today. You know, those kids, they got these prizes. There's money inside them. I guess I made my income for next month, alhamdulillah. So encourage your children to come and learn Quran and memorize. It's a good opportunity for them. And of course, we are going to celebrate the Milad of our second Imam, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mushtaba alayhi salatu wassalam, tomorrow inshallah on the 15th of Ramadan, Thursday night. And I extend my warm congratulations and greetings to all of you on this beautiful occasion. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. Tonight our discussion is on issues that pertain to the women status in the Holy Quran and in the society, of course. Some of these questions and issues are somehow controversial. People ask about them, people debate about them, people ask why this is happening. So we take this opportunity, the month of Ramadan, the month of the birth of the Holy Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, and the best thing, the best gift to the Holy Quran on its birthday, which is during Laylatul Qadr, is to try to understand these questions. And we have to be able to answer them. Every single Muslim, male or female, should be able to address these questions intellectually, not emotionally, but intellectually. And you have to have the dalil, the evidence, from the Holy Quran. I'm going to mention two issues, or two questions, two concepts today, or tonight. One of them is the issue of inheritance. Why there is a difference in the distribution ratio of inheritance between the male and the female. Many people ask why. Where is justice? Where is fairness? God is supposed to be the God of justice. So how does God, so-called, discriminate between male and female? Why should he give two portions to the male and only one portion to the female? Many people ask about this and they try to understand it. And this is actually a verse in the Holy Quran in Surah An-Nisa. يوصيكم الله في أولادكم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين. God directs you. يوصيكم means this is a directive. This is a directive. This is an injunction. This is mandatory. You must listen to it. This is mandatory. So God directs you in the issue of inheritance, when it comes to inheritance, then to the male, a portion equal to that of two females. So each male like you gets two portions, equal to one portion to the female. Where is justice here? And we know God is the creator of justice. And God advocates justice. And God invite us to implement justice in every sphere, in every aspect of our life. So where is it here? رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. I seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to address this and to answer it according to the wisdom of the Holy Quran. This ratio of 2 versus 1, 2 portions to the male versus 1 to the female, is not everywhere when it comes to the inheritance. It's not a general one. It has some exceptions. I'll give you some examples. If someone dies and he has parents, his parents are still alive. He has parents, he has wife, children. In this case, if he has wife and children, then 1/6, 1/6 of his inheritance goes to his father, and an equal portion goes to his mother. Again, 1/6. So there is no discrimination here. The father gets exactly the same portion that his mother gets. This is one example. Another example is that if a father dies and he is survived only by his daughter, only by one daughter, no sons, this daughter does not have siblings, does not have brothers or sisters, neither he survived by a wife or parents. So the only inheritor, warith, to this father is a female. Then she gets 100% of his inheritance. And nobody share anything with her. The entire state, be it land, property, buildings, you know, ranches, farms, whatever. Gold, silver, cash, money goes to his daughter. Because she is the sole inheritor in this case. Even if he has a brothers or sisters, they don't get any share. The whole money goes to his daughter. So it is not a matter of gender preference. When Allah says 2 portions for the male versus 1 portion for the female, it's not about gender preference, that male is better than female, or the male deserves more than the female. It's about economy, and I'll explain to you. Women, be it daughters, sisters, wives, mothers, they are free from all financial obligations in Islam, under the Islamic law. What does that mean? It means that if you are a daughter, then it is your father's responsibility to sustain you financially, if he is able. Sometimes the father is not able. Sometimes the father is out of work. Sometimes the girl, she makes more money than her father. Even if she makes more money than her father, then religiously, the father is responsible to sustain his daughter or daughters according to his ability. According to his ability. If you get married, then your husband is responsible for you. Even if you make money, you may keep this money for yourself. So you are responsible for, your husband is responsible for your well-being. If you are, God forbid, a widow, the husband is dead, or she is divorced, a divorcee, then your elder son is responsible for taking care of you, for your financial expenses. This is the duty of you, the eldest son. Or if the eldest one is fugitive, you don't know where he lives, then the second son, the one who comes after him. The second one is missing, the third one. One of the children has to take care of his living mother, not only living mother, but even his siblings in the family after the departure of the father. The father is the breadwinner, He's responsible for his family. If the father is gone for any reason, either he's dead or he's not there, then it is the responsibility of the male children in the family to take care of the living mother and the siblings, financially. To take care of their health care, education, rent, mortgage, food, clothing. So in this case, the female is free from all these financial obligations. Before her marriage, when she's single, her father is responsible. When she gets married, her husband is fully responsible. If there is no husband, then the son should be responsible for his mother and his siblings at home. Therefore, she has no obligation, no financial obligation. And in certain cases, you know, although the male gets two portions and the female one, they end up, the female, because she saves her money, they end up that she makes more money than the male. Because the male has to spend the money that he received. He has to take care of his mother. He has to take care of his family, his sisters, his brothers, the younger ones. So she ends up making more money than him. Although in the beginning she got half of that amount, but because she saves it. This is according to the Islamic law. Now you may tell me, Sayyid, who follows the Islamic law? I don't know. This is your problem. This is not God's problem. God says, this is my law. This is my Quran. This is my constitution. You better follow it. If we do not follow it, then we are guilty. We should not blame God. We should blame ourselves. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. These are the boundaries that God has set for you. Do not transgress. Stay within these boundaries. If you want to be happy and dignified, stay with the boundaries of God. And then, more than that, imagine there is a father who's worried about his daughter. He has a daughter and he has a son, and he knows after his death that the son is going to get two portions, double the amount that his daughter is going to get, but he loves his daughter and he wants her to get more than his son. Is there any way for that? I'm asking you, is there any way? Yeah, there is a way. The father, during his lifetime, can make a will and allocate one-third of his wealth, one-third of his wealth, to whomever he likes, be it his daughter, be it his wife, be it his father, his mother, his friend, his mosque, his church, his, no, not church, sorry, the orphanage, you know, whatever. So he can give that. So he says, in this case, because I'm worried my daughter is going to get less, I'm going to write in my wasiyah that my one-third, my thulth, the one-third of my wealth is going to go to my daughter. In this case, she ends up making much more than her brother because she gets one-third. And again, when it comes to the two-thirds, they give the portion for the wife, for the mother, which is one-eighth. The rest of it, they distribute it between the boy and the girl, and she ends up taking more in this case. Are you with me? Do you follow me on this?
Yes.
So there is no abuse for females in this case. Allah says this, the law of inheritance. The earth is, the ratio of distribution is based on economy, on financial responsibilities, not on gender preference. Because Allah says, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. Men are breadwinners. Men have to spend. Men have to give. They are responsible for the well-being of their families, the well-being of their dependents. Now, what is the age of dependency? Where does it end? It ends. It has no specific time. Maybe in America it's 18 years, 21 years, I really don't know. But Allah says, since your daughter and your husband are still single, they are at home living with you, then they are your dependents. the day they get married and they have an income, they have an income, then after that they are no longer dependents. But before that, if they live with you at home, whether they work or they don't work, they are your dependents and you are responsible for their well-being. Now some wives, they ask, they say, how much he's responsible for my expenses? Allah says he's responsible for what is necessary for you. What is necessary for us? Number one, food and drink and shelter and what else? Clothing. Now some people say, what sort of clothing? A handbag which is 500 bucks, you know? Should he buy it for me if I ask him? No, this is not. Allah says, what is necessary? What is necessary? The clothing that is necessary. The things that are extravagant, he's not responsible. He's not responsible for that. What sort of house? One bedroom apartment or a mansion? Allah answers this in the Quran. He says, أَسْكِنُهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ سَكَنْتُمْ مِنْ وُجْدِكُمْ أَيْ مِنْ طَاقَتِكُمْ. Shelter them, place them, lodge them in a place, in a house, according to your financial ability. So if you are rich, if you have good income, then you cannot put her in one bedroom or two bedroom apartment. It has to be according to your financial ability. And Islam says, you know yourself. You know how much money you make. I'm not going to say you have to put her in this mansion, in this zip code. Islam does not speak about that. Islam gives a general, you know, law. Islam says if you have decent income, good income, if you are rich, then put your family in a house compatible to your financial status. But if you are struggling with your income, then your family has no right to come and put a burden on you. They have to understand you. They have to appreciate your condition. Allah says to men, do not allow your women to ask you for money. You give them. You should not allow them to come and beg. They are not beggars, they are your wives. And you are responsible for them. You have to give them money. You have to give your children. Don't allow them to come to you and say, I'm broke. I have no money. Don't allow it to reach that level. Don't. You have to take the initiative, you have to be smart, and you have to watch for the needs of your family. At the same time, Allah says to the wives, ittaqullah, be careful. If your husband is struggling today, this month, this year, be careful. No need for extra expenditure. No need. Do not put burden on him. Do not let him go and get a loan, one after the other. Don't do that. Live within your means. You must live within your means. This is what we learn in Islam. Don't go and get a loan because you need to have a vacation while you don't have. Leave the vacation until the future, inshallah. Or don't buy something expensive while you know your husband is struggling. So you have to take care of each other. Appreciate each other. Do not misuse each other. Protect each other. The best family is the family where the father, the husband protects his children and his wife, and the mother also protects her husband and her children. That's the best family. They care for each other. They defend each other. They sacrifice for each other. This is family. This is the beauty of family. They worry about each other. The husband worries about his wife and his children and their well-being, and she also worries. They don't take advantage of each other. Nowadays what we see is that they are not honest with each other. Especially when it comes to the financial things. When it comes to financial matters, they are not She saves money somewhere, she doesn't tell her husband, and he keeps his another account somewhere else, he doesn't want her to know. This is not good. It's really not good. The husband should be generous with his family. طلب الحلال جزء من العبادة. طلب الحلال, the father who struggles to earn a decent income to sustain his family, this is ibadah. He's worshipping. الكاد على عياله كالمجاهد في سبيل الله. Someone who struggles to sustain his family and keep them healthy, strong, he's mujahid. He received the title of jihad, mujahid في سبيل الله. The same thing with the wife. A concerned wife wants to protect the dignity of her husband and her family. She does not overspend. She does not overspend. Even if the husband says, this is your money, go, buy anything. She does not go and buy anything. She's responsible. She may give this money, her own money, to someone else, to orphans, to others, to those who are, you know, in need. To be responsible is beautiful. You enjoy this life when you act responsible. But if we start to take advantage of each other, the husband is stingy, does not give, and the wife, she just wants to hijack his wallet and go and take this and take, it's not good. They are not going to enjoy this life. So this is the first issue. The ratio of distribution of inheritance is based on economic responsibility. Since the economic, the financial responsibility belongs to the husband, then he has to get a double share in order for him to be able to sustain his family. So it's about monetary compensation. It's not that women are less than men. The second issue, which is equally sensitive, and we hear about it, and many people ask, this question I've been asked by so many Muslims and non-Muslims about this, the second question, which is the matter or the issue of shahada in the court, testifying before the judge. The longest surah in the Quran, what is the longest surah in the Quran? Baqarah. And what is the longest ayah in the Quran? Ahsant, mashallah. Salawat for Sayyid Ali. Ayah 282. Ahsant jiddu. Ahsant. Barakallah. 282 is the longest ayah in the Quran. And that ayah speaks about something very important. We think that, well, this is might not be important, but it is very important. It says when you get a loan from someone, تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّنْ فَاكْتُبُوهُ. When you ask someone to give you $500, $1,000, $100, write it on a piece of paper. فَاكْتُبُوهُ. If you don't know how to write, فَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَدْلِ. Some people, they don't know how to write. So ask someone to sit and write that today you took a loan from Fulan at this date, $500, and you're going to return it, let's say in 6 months, in a year, 2 years. You have to write it down. Why? Because sometimes you forget, he forgets. That's not good. So you have to write it down. And then in the verse continues to say that sometimes in financial, you know, matters, some issues come up, some disagreements when you have contracts. So there will be some disputes and disagreements between people. In this case, you have to bring witnesses. In this case, the witnesses, Allah says, وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. You have to bring two male witnesses to the court when you have a disagreement regarding a financial issue with someone, with your partner. You go to the court, you have to bring two witnesses, شهيدين من رجالكم. فإن لم يكونا رجلين, if you don't have two men, in this case, what do you do? فرجل وامرأتان. One male and two female. And here people say, why two female? This means that two female are equal to one male? This means that every female is 50% of a female, of a male? Every female makes one half of a male? Where is justice here? Why God says at the time of testifying, either you bring two men, or if you have only one man, then you have only one man, you have to bring two females here, two women. Why? Why not only one woman, one man and one woman? Again, the Quran answers this. Allah says this is, again, it is not gender-based decision. It's not because women are inferior to men, or we less trustworthy than men, or we question their mental capability. It's not about that. We do not question their intelligence, or they are more deficient than men. It's not about that. It's about that mostly, most of the time, financial transactions and financial dealings and the business and the trade was done most of the time was done by men or women. By men, even today. CEOs of companies, you look that up. Look at the names of the CEOs of most companies, even in America and Europe. 95% of them are men. 95%. So because this issue is dealt by men. Usually these transactions and these dealings, they are the profession of men. So this is why Allah says, because they know they are expert in this field, this is their job, this is their profession, so they know better than others. This is number one. Now, if someone says, okay, how about now, we have a lady who's a graduate of the best university in business, she has a business degree, MBA, and maybe in the past they did not do these dealings, they did not involve in business, in financial matters, but now they are doing it. So what do you say about now? We say that the Quran goes with the norm. The Quran deals always with the standard of the societies. What is the standard in the society? We don't go after the exceptions. Yes, we do have exceptions. We do have. And sometimes I believe some women are much more smarter when it comes to business, when it comes to administration, when it comes to many things. They are much more smarter than many men. Yes, they are very competent in many fields. Not just business, in many fields. In teachings, in education, in administration. Inshallah, you're going to see Hillary Clinton being our president next year. She will do a good job, inshallah. We pray for her. So, they might be very smart women. It's not about the issue of a trust. But Allah says sometimes it's the issue of physiology and psychology. How is that? Listen to this. I have a friend who told me that his mother used to work in a lab many years ago. And she used to go to hospitals, maternity departments and hospitals, where deliveries are taking place, labor. So she goes there, after women deliver their babies, there is something called placenta. Have you heard about it? Placenta is the machine where the baby grows. Each one of us, we were growing in this house, called placenta, in our mother's wombs. Placenta is a layer that protects us. And we nurture there, we grow there, until we leave that house and we come into this world. So she would go there and she collects all these disposed, these placentas, they dispose them. She would collect them, she brings them to the lab to make a test on them. And there is a liquid inside. She takes this liquid out and she does some experiments with this liquid. She takes this liquid, she puts it in a needle, and she gives it to her husband. And before she injects him with this liquid, which is taken, extracted from these placentas, she would show him some cards. You know, you are familiar with cards. I'm not familiar. I don't play cards, really. I'm very, very ignorant when it comes to cards. But you know the names of these cards. Each one has a name. Ahmad, we need your help here. So she would show him, she tells him, what is this card? He mentions the name. Give me a name of these cards. I know. The name of the particular card.
Heart.
So she tells him, what is this? He says, heart. She puts it here. What is the second one?
Ace.
This is ace. She asks him, what is the third one? He says, King. She puts king here. Okay, that's it. You're going to forget the Quran now if you so keep it. So, and then immediately she injects him. This is a true story, my friends. Really. She injects him with that liquid. And after a few minutes, she tells him, what was this card here that I put here? He says, I don't remember. She says, what was the name of this card here that you put yourself a few minutes ago? He says, I don't remember. The third one, I don't remember. He does not remember anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this liquid. So when women, they give birth, they forget. If they don't forget, if the mother keeps remembering the pain of labor, she would never conceive again. She would never become pregnant again, believe me. But Allah makes it easy for them. Because He knows if they remember the pain that they went through, impossible for them to have babies again. But this particular liquid makes them forget. Forget the pain and the hardship of labor. And it is found in women. You don't have it. The men, they don't have it. Only women. So when your wife says no more pregnancy, you have to understand. So this may be, the Holy Quran says, this is ishara, an indication. Allah says, وَاسْتَشْهِدُوا شَهِدَيْنِ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُونَا رَجُلَيْنِ فَرَجُلٌ وَامْرَأَتَانِ مِمَّنْ تَرْضَوْنَ مِنَ الشُّهَدَاءِ. The witnesses that you agree upon, both of you have to agree upon, and then listen to this. أَن تَضَلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى. In case one of them forgets. She forgets. She's standing before a judge. There's jury, people listening. She might forget. She knew about it, but at that particular instance, she might forget. أَنْتَ ظِلَّ. ظَلَال here is forgetfulness, not deviation, huh? Because ظَلَال has so many meanings. One of them is misguidance, deviation, and one of them when someone forgets. أَنْتَ ظِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا. So in case one of them becomes hesitant and she forgets, فَتُذَكِّرَ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى. Her friend will remind her about it. Are you with me? So it's not about discrimination. It's not about women are less intelligent, less reliable, they have no place in Islam, they are second-class citizens. Not about second. In Islam, we have only one class. Have you seen some of these airplanes here? You know, they have only one class. There is no business, first class, all economy, alhamdulillah. In Islam, we are all first class. We don't have this gender as first class and that gender as second class. We don't have this color as first class and the second color is less. We don't have this culture's first class. Even Arabs are equal with non-Arabs. This is exactly what the wording of the Quran. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. You are all equal. So if you want to get closer to God, you have to do better than others. Now when it comes to testimonies, to be a witness, sometimes the judge depends on women more than men. More than men. He says, no, I'm not going to accept the testimony of this man or men, but I'm going to accept the testimony, shahada, of women. How is that? When it comes to family affairs, because they are more experts. This is their field. When it comes to pregnancy, he's not going to ask a man about it. He asks a woman. When it comes to giving birth, when it comes to the consummation, marital consummation, if you know what I mean. Whether the husband and the wife, when they get together after marriage, whether they have consummated their marriage or not, who are they going to ask? Not the husband, they're going to ask the wife. Because this is her body, she knows about it. The husband does not know about it. When it comes to, let's say, menstruation and other issues, she knows better. This is her expertise. So Islam says, go and ask women. You don't ask men in this case. So these two issues, they depend on expediency and wisdom. They do not depend on prejudice against women, because Allah says at the end of the day, women and men in my eyes are equal. Are equal. God, something good about him. Something good about him. First of all, he's colorblind. God is colorblind. He doesn't look at colors. We look at colors. We judge people by colors. We like certain colors, so we sway towards them. We dislike other colors, we neglect them. I mentioned yesterday something very painful happening in America. Serious. Since the incident of Charleston, North Carolina, is it North Carolina or South Carolina? Since that incident 2 weeks ago, 9 other black churches were burned. 9 other black churches were burned in the southern states. In North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee. 9 black churches in America. In a country where it takes a pride in equality between people. In a country where it takes pride in democracy, and we have so much democracy here, a surplus of democracy, that we want to export some of it to the Middle East, to other countries, because we have too much democracy here. We don't need it. Imagine. 9 churches were destroyed because the people are black. And this is, 150 years after, slavery was banned in America. This is not good. God is colorblind. God does not look at the color. And also, God is genderless. God is neither male or female. Alhamdulillah. God is neither male or female. Therefore, God does not look at the gender. God look at the heart. He looks at the heart. He looks at our contribution, at our service. He looks at the heart. God judges us by our hearts and by our intentions. Niyat. Niyat. Niyatul mar'i khayrun min 'amali. Sometimes you love to do something good. You love to help someone. You love to give charity. You love to shelter. But you don't have money. God says, I will give you the credit. Because I looked at your heart. I looked at your heart. I know you could not do that. But because your heart and your mind, you wanted to do that and you could not, I would still give you the credit. Where do you find such a God? You can't find him anywhere. Except here, Allah. Allahumma khurr al-mu'mineena wal-mu'minat. والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك سامع الدعوات إنك على كل شيء قدير. تقبل منا صلاتنا. Oh Allah, accept our fasting, our prayers, our Quranic recitation and the dua supplication and our repentance. Accept our repentance in these nights. My friends, already half of the month is gone. Do you believe it? Half of the month of Ramadan is gone. Tonight is the eve of the 15th. So take advantage of the rest. Few more days, and they're going to go. They're going to go very quick. Take advantage of these days. God is waiting for you. God is waiting to hear your voice, to see you going back to Him, restoring your relationship with Him. Don't waste your time. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا وعجل اللهم في فرجه واجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء تواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.